Oh, that sounds good. Continue to magnify him. Continue to lift him up. Hallelujah. Oh, you've been so good to us, Lord. You've been so good to us this year, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, to know, Lord, there's none like you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, how's the people of God in Augusta, Kansas doing? Amen, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're grateful to be here. Amen. Just to add to that story, we just sent a text to your pastor, just telling him Merry Christmas. And I went into the room. I didn't even tell your pastor this, but I went into the room and prayed and said, God, I made a promise to someone. And I told him if he ever needed me, I would be there. And I can't break that promise. So whether this pastor has ill will or ill feelings against it or not, I need you to handle it. And as I began to speak to that pastor, I told him the situation. And he says, no, you have to go. And I said, well, I'm glad that you see it that way, because you're right. I have to go. I have to go. And we've scheduled from another time later this coming year. But we're grateful to be here. We do consider Augusta, Kansas, and this church our family away from home. So we are grateful to be here. I want to give honor to your pastor and First Lady and their family today. You've got such a wonderful leader here. Amen. Aren't you grateful for your pastor today? I believe we can do better for that for our pastor. Amen. Aren't you grateful for a man of God in your life? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I praise you. Also want to give honor unto Elder Wirths and Sister Wirths today as well. We love and appreciate you as well. If you have your Bibles, we are going to Galatians chapter 6, just one verse. While you're doing that, I can tell you too, no, you're not imagining thing. We'll go ahead and address the ugly elephant in the room. My wife has not been beating me, and if she has, I wouldn't tell you anyway. Amen. I have been living for so long in the state of Florida as a child growing up, did not take care of myself like I should have, and so I'm dealing with skin cancers, so they're helping get rid of these things for me. It's not life-threatening or anything like that. So just know I'm not contagious. I don't have leprosy. I shouldn't be shouting unclean, unclean. Amen. So I don't want you to worry about that. Please make sure after church, come by. Men, hug my neck. Let me tell you how good it is to see me. Amen. Hallelujah. Galatians 6, we're going to be reading one verse in 17. It simply says, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I want to take the title of this text and this message today simply from my body. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I do not have a message of shouting today. I'm not here to tickle your funny bone and have you running around the church and shout and preach it, brother. It's just not one of those messages. It's a message of reflection. It's a message to say, hey, there's some things that God is wanting you to allow him to dig out of your lives. So I'm just asking if we can just all stay sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Can we just put the word of the Lord down, raise our hands one more time to heaven? Before God brings us his message, we love you today, Jesus. We need you in this place. We're grateful for the presence that we felt in here, the presence of victory, the presence of joy. Lord, to know that you give and take away, but still blessed be the name of the Lord. God, we need you to have your way in this place today. Use your servant, Lord. Let there be anointing on me. Let your anointing be felt in this house. God, and just be in tune with your presence here, with what you're wanting to happen today. God, and we won't fail to glorify you. We won't fail to praise you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can the children of God clap your hands unto the Lord right now and lift up your voices unto him? Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We praise your holy name. Hallelujah. And you may be seated in the presence of God Almighty. Hallelujah. I believe God today is wanting to give a revelation to each and every one of us, an understanding of things that we carry on us, not just the physical, but the spiritual things. And I'd like to say this, that today is your day off. And what I mean by that, if you are a minister, if you are licensed or unlicensed, if pastor uses you in ministry, you are off today because you need to focus on you today. This is not for you to focus on others. You are to focus on you, that we're here. God has put us on the clock. Amen. And he's wanting to do something important in your lives today. But if I was to have a title for this message, it would be The Divinity of Your Scars. The Divinity of Your Scars. And another way of saying it is the godly reason for your scars. I would say the majority of every adult in this place today has at least one thing in common other than the spiritual. That we may have been born from different families, different cultures, different states, different times in our lives, different races and different backgrounds. But yet we still have at least this one thing in common, that each and every adult, at least in this building, has one or more scars or marks on your body. Each scar can tell a story in your life, or the mark can tell a story. And so I can only talk about myself when it regards to this. I can tell you the most noticeable scar, if you will, on me would be my nose. That I remember a time my sons were asking me, what is the line on your nose, Dad? And so I began to tell them a story of when we were in West Virginia, there with my wife's oldest sister and their family. And as we were getting ready to leave that state, thank God we were getting ready to leave that state, because I don't see anything good coming from West Virginia, brother, other than the scenery. But as we begin to leave that state, we were with them in a secluded place in nature in a spring, and we were just having a good time in the spring. And being from Florida, knowing how to swim, I decided as they were all grouped together from afar off, I would dive under the water. I was about waist deep, Brother Micah, and I was waist deep in water, and I was going to dive down into the water. And I'm used to sand. The beach sand, if you will. So there can't be anything here that would hurt me. Not thinking of repercussions. I'm going to go grab someone's ankle and make them think something's in that water. And as I dove with all my force and might to make sure I can get across that stream as the current was going against me, there was something under the water that met me unexpectedly, and it was a huge boulder. And as soon as I dove, my nose hit it, and I heard under the water, crunch, just crack. And as that happened, my brain started getting fuzzy. I felt myself about to pass out. And as I came up, stumbling across the rocks and trying to get to them, I'm mumbling, what are you talking about? You're going to have to move your hands. We can't hear you. And as I get closer to them, about from right here, brother, I said, my nose is broke, and I feel like I'm going to pass out. And as blood, started to pour out from the top of my nose and from the bottom and from my mouth as well as it came through, they're all, oh, my Lord. I imagine it was a horrific sight. So I knew from that moment, yeah, it's a pretty bad break. And it wasn't the first time I've broken my nose, but it was the worst time I've broken my nose. So as I begin to get myself back to the shore, my brother-in-law, who is a licensed EMT, he works with paramedics and firefighters and just loves that line of work. As we get there, and I've heard stories Elder, I've heard stories of how he went to wrecks and the gore and the tragedy that happened and things he had to do. I looked at him, I said, you're going to have to set my nose because I'm not going to the hospital. He said, I'm not touching that thing. A man that is trained to deal with these situations was the one who refused to help me. Well, that's another story. I can preach another day. But so I said, okay. So I just grabbed my nose and just popped it back into place and just kept going on. But we all have these stories. And as I began to tell my son the stories, I watched their faces that cringed. And then they would ask me about, okay, Dad, what about the scar on your hand? What about the scar under your left or over your left eye? And as I began to continue to tell these stories unto them, I can recollect the day that it happened, whether it was day or night. And I recollected the pain that I went through and the tenderness of the wounds and how long it actually took for that wound to heal. And even though it was years and years ago, most of these scars happened, and it could be a distant memory, there was still a reminder of the event that never lets me forget what happened for a brief moment of my life that caused that mark on my body. And I believe each and every one of you, if you stood up and had a scar, you could tell that story. You'd remember the pain that it caused. You'd remember the moment that it happened, probably even the month you were in whenever the situation happened and how long it took to heal. Some of you have these stories or maybe even had surgeries that left scars on your body. But God today wants to address the emotional scars in the house. And if I could even be brave enough to say, maybe they're not even scars yet. Maybe they're still wounds in the house that needs to be healed. Things that have scarred you emotionally that you can't understand why the event had to happen to you. There are those with emotional scars, possibly even of guilt, to say, why did I do these things? Why did I hurt this person? Why did I say the things that I said to them? Why did I make the choice knowing it was going to hurt them and knowing that I can't take it back? I'm talking about the emotional and spiritual scars that every time something is brought up or you see something or someone, you are reminded of that scar. But what is our response when the scar brings back the memory of the wound? What is our spirit like when the memory of the things that has hurt you replays through your mind and through conversations? Our response is resentment against the person or event that caused the scar or the wound, if you will. Or we try to erase it from our memory because it's too painful to recollect what we went through, to reminisce what we went through. So we come into the presence of God with our wounds and our scars. And when God is trying to heal you from these issues and the hurt with revelation from the Word or even through your worship and your praise, we tense up and we get callous in our spirit. It's true, we get callous. So I look at this as if we are a child. I remember my own children, and I can remember doing this myself, that something as simple as a scraped knee. Well, let me look at it, son. No, 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 don't get close. I know what you're going to do. Or if there's a splinter, no, 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 don't touch it. You're going to hurt me more. You're going to pull it out, that splinter. Or you're going to want to put some medicine that's going to make it sting. No, no, no. Just give me a Band-Aid, if you will. Just put a Band-Aid on it, and everything will be fine. I just need a Band-Aid today. Some of you may be feeling like that every time the memory is brought up of what hurts you. Things in your past that have wounded you could be even leadership that may have hurt and wounded you and caused a scar. And all you're telling God is, just put a Band-Aid on it, Lord. Don't touch it. Don't put medicine on it. I know you say it can get infected, but I don't want to address it. Just put the dressing over it. We say, God, don't touch the hurt today. Don't address it with me. Why don't you just confront the one that caused the wound? Why don't you go deal with them? Because I don't want to go through the torment remembering the details. Let me just bury it down deep. You know, I may not get a lot of amens today, and that's okay. Because this message is for reflection for you today. It's not for you to say, preach it, Brother Ward. It's not to say even amen. It's to say, oh my. Oh my. Oh Lord. Why can't I let you heal it when I hear message after message saying that you are the healer? Why is it that I can believe it for them, but I can't believe it for me? Oh, my Lord. But I'm here to tell you, the one thing about the outward and the inward scars is this. God will not erase the memory. He will not erase the scar. If you came here and hearing this message so far, hoping that I was going to be able to give a revelation and hope on how to erase scars, I'm sorry, sir or madam, but I still carry mine too. Your pastor still carries his too. Everyone still carries the memory of the scar. But I am here to give revelation and hope to say he will heal you if you let him heal you. But he doesn't erase the event that happened to you. And that's what you are after, sir or madam. You're wanting God to erase the memory of the scar. Whenever God gives us a healing, and then when we go home and something triggers that emotion or event that happened, we think God did not heal me because I still remember the hurt. I still remember the pain. Well, can you still remember the pain of the outward too? It doesn't work that way. God is not going to erase your memory. Some of you are dealing with resentment against God, feeling that he should erase the scar like he did the sin, that he should erase the scar like he healed the wound. And now you have trust issues with God, just like you don't trust the one that hurt you. I'm stepping on some toes, but it's okay because God's ready to do some heart surgery today for you. You have forgiveness issues with God because you haven't forgiven those who hurt you. I'm going to let that sink in for a moment. God is not bringing this message to you today to hurt you. He's bringing it to heal you. He wants to give a revelation of the divinity for the scars today. God, I thought you would just wave a magic wand and just take it all away. Take away the memory of mama or daddy hurting me as a child. Take away that moment where maybe even a spiritual man that claimed to be a man of God hurt me. Or maybe that son or daughter that may have hurt you. Or maybe even a family church member that hurt you. You know, one thing I hear in every state I go to is this, is that I'll use Kansas as the example. Kansas is the worst for those getting church hurt. It's the worst for leadership hurting saints or saints going. It's everywhere. It's not just Kansas, folks. It's everywhere. And unless your pastor tells you different, hear me today. I don't believe in church hurt. It's just hurt. Hell wants us to believe that church hurt is the worst kind of hurt. No, no, no. It's family hurt because we're family. And the ones you love the most are the ones that are going to hurt you the most, whether they're in this building or they're someone that you know and you love that is blood to you. Hurt is hurt. Don't let hell put... That's the problem today that we're seeing on social media that people are spreading rumors about. That the hurt, the worst hurt there is a church hurt. That's where the scars come from. That's where the wounds won't heal is because it came from the spiritual and not the physical. Can I tell you, it's not the spiritual unless it's the enemy. It's an emotional thing. You choose to let some people hurt you. And I'm preaching to myself today because I've been through some things. I've been accused of some things. I've had some fingers pointed at me. You're not the only ones. But it's not church hurt. It's just emotional hurt or the enemy getting in and seeping into your mind, telling you there is no healing process. But there's something that I've realized here. There's some key historical developments of physical pain and physical hurts, if you will, that has emotionally damaged people from having wounds and scars. In the early 20th century, the early roots, the desire to hide scars led to early rudimentary methods using natural pigments and cosmetic powders. That's where makeup sometimes, you could say, came from. They tried to hide the scars. Let me put some makeup to hide the acne. Let me put some makeup on my forearm to make it look more natural and not to see the scar for someone to ask me what has happened. Hello? Then medical advancements happened in the mid-1900s. Paramedical tattooing began to emerge. Formalization through the 90s to 2000 showed the practice became more specialized as tattoo artists began focusing on permanent makeup and skin improvement post-injury or even after surgeries. Now, while ancient cultures used tattoos to incorporate scars into designs, modern specific skin tones matching was called camouflage tattooing. It was a process and advances even today for medical and cosmetic science. People, you can look it up for yourselves and you'll see pictures of people before and afters of those who may have been in accidents or been attacked by someone and they have scars on their body. And when they look at it, they have a traumatic issue of, my Lord, I don't want to recollect that day and remember the worst day of my life where I was attacked or I was hurt. I don't want to remember that place. So instead, I'm going to cover it up with a tattoo. I'm going to cover it up with a little bit of ink, not realizing that they're putting themselves in physical pain once again as a needle goes in and out of their body. But see, they won't remember the pain of the needle. They only remember the emotional of what that scar reminds them of, so they want to hide it the same way the people of God do. I'll hide it with a nice suit, Pastor. I'll hide it with a nice tie. I'll hide it with a smile on my face. And the natural reaction of whenever someone says, how are you doing? I'll just use those two words. I'm fine. When truly we are not fine. We are hurting. We're bleeding out. We are wounded. And we're reminded of the scars. Scars are plaguing individuals so much that they could not stand to look at them. And they'd rather erase them than face them. We've got to get to a place where we quit trying to erase our scars, church. You are doubting that God has healed the wound just because you see and feel the scar. And I'm here to give a little revelation that people are coming into churches allowing God to heal them. But because the scars are still there, they feel no resolution and no real healing because the scars remain. So the million-dollar question is, what do you do when you feel a calling of God on your life and scars are revealed? What do you do when a mom or daddy, parents, when your kids try to love you, your mom and dad tries to love you, but you're reminded of how you let generational curses plague you before you came to God? What do you do, son or daughter, when your parent has turned their life over to God, but the scars still hinder you from trusting and loving them? What do you do? I feel the Holy Ghost. What do you do, young lady, when you feel like a pastor or pastor's wife did you wrong? And so you've allowed a callous spirit over you to where you can't even receive the Holy Ghost because you're angry. Hear it today. You have got to let God remove the callous. The scar will remain. The memory will remain. But God can heal the wound, and the scar must be shown. It has been so heavy on my heart these past couple of weeks about scars. But can I tell you there is a divine purpose for your scars today? Am I saying that when you leave here today, the scars will heal themselves and no longer exist? No, I'm not saying that. They will be with you for the rest of your life, but it is how we allow God to take the wound, heal it to the scar, and use the scar to overcome, to look at the scar in a different light. We can't look at the scar as those victims who may have been attacked, those victims who may have went and got the tattoo, you know, camouflaging for the scars because they don't want to be reminded of the event. It needs to be looked at in a different perception, if you will, to say, wow, this scar reminds me I'm still here. I'm still breathing and I'm a survivor. Can I tell you that's how you need to look at your spiritual and emotional scars today? Can I just tell you it's a sign of you overcoming to look at that scar in another light? He wants you to quit hiding the scars, to stop acting like everything is fine if you ignore it. Spirit. Quit asking for a band-aid because it won't fix the issue, but start opening up your heart and your spirit to say, okay, it's going to be a little rough, Lord. Okay, God, it's going to be tough when you put that medicine on it, if you will, but I need the wound to heal so I can face the scar. I've got to face the scar today. John 20 talks about the disciples as they gathered together in a room in fear. In fear, they assembled together in hiding because of other Jews. They were scared what would happen unto them. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up on the scene and says, "Peace be unto you." Yes, it was a greeting, but I believe it was more than that. But then we see through 24 through 27 of that chapter where Thomas came together with them and told them, until I'm able to put my hands in his side, until I can take my finger and put in the wounds of his hands and his feet, until I can see the stripes on his back, if you will, and the thorns that pierced his head, until I see this, don't tell me that he's here. You know what I believe Thomas was saying? He was at a place where he could not afford to believe that Jesus was resurrected. Don't give me hope. Don't let me be disappointed. Maybe you're just all imagining this because you want to see him. There's a longing. But I can't afford to know the guilt of when I possibly ran from him while he was going through these hurt and through this pain. I don't want to remember that whenever I followed him faithfully for 3.5 years just to see that I possibly betrayed and didn't stay there the whole time with him, that I didn't fight with him. It hurts too much. I can't go through this pain. I've got to hide that part of my life. I've got to hide that. So I've got to have physical evidence to prove that. And just as he was saying that, Jesus stepped back on the scene and said again, "Peace be unto you." But in my spirit, I'm here to tell you, I don't believe it was just a greeting that they gave. He was literally telling Thomas in that moment, "I want to give you peace, Thomas. I don't want you to hurt anymore. I don't want you to feel guilt or shame anymore. I'm here. You need to touch me. Touch me." God is telling some people today, "You need to touch me. It's okay. Come touch me and let me touch you back. Let me heal the wounds and let the scars remain. But don't have sorrow in your heart. Don't have bitterness from the scars. I want to heal you, but the scars must remain. Here are my wounds. Put your fingers through the nail hands and through the feet." Jesus wants to be the only one with open wounds because he carried them, so you no longer have to, church. You no longer have to have open wounds. You no longer have to spiritually bleed to death through bitterness and resentment. God went through it so you would not have to today. Do you believe that? So the real question, Brother Ward, what do I do with my scars? What do I do with my pain? What do I do with the things that wounded and marred me most of my life? What do I do if I can't let go of that event? God, it's this simple. God wants you to carry those scars for the same reason he carries the wounds. To show others, it's your testimony. It's your victory. Come on, yes, it's a memory of your past, but it's also the evidence of how God brought you through it, that Jesus still carries the wounds from the cross, but not to show defeat. It shows the victory. Come on, is he still in the grave? Is he still in the tomb? Did he not raise after 3 days? And angels come out saying, "The one you look for is no longer here. You're not going to find his body here. He has came back. He has fulfilled his promise, and now we can be with him for eternity because of it." Come on, he's wanting you to use it as good news, not as a defeat, not as a bad reflection of your life, but to show you that God took a wound and healed it for you. He healed it. God wants to reveal to you the scars are from a place of divinity now. I healed you. I set you free. I gave you peace. I gave you healing. I
gave you things that no one could give you. I gave you things that Dr. Phil couldn't even prescribe a pill for. It was my love. It was my blood that was shed is the reason you are healed now. Let the scars remain. Hallelujah. Let's lift our voices to the Lord. Glory, glory. There's been too many places I've gone. Pastor, too many places where I've been where people want to sweep things under a rug and just let me forget. Let me forget. I don't want to deal with these things, but that's the problem. You got to address them head on. You've got to get to a meeting with the Lord and say, okay, God, you're not going to take the memory away. I may see that person and still have a reminder, but that's where the heart moment needs to happen. To God, I don't need to have resentment, but instead I can remember you brought me through it. You brought me through it. I can look at that person now. I can forgive them. I can forgive myself. I can look at them and no longer have turmoil or frustration or suicidal thoughts or depression and say, God, you've given me peace over it. And now I can look at that person. I can look at that scar and I don't have to let my blood pressure rise anymore. My temper doesn't have to rise anymore. But now I have peace because I know you brought me through. Come on, just like the children of Israel that God delivered them. He delivered them from Egypt. But see, we stop right there. Even I've preached a message here about deliverance, the activating of deliverance. But can I tell you, the story doesn't end there. He doesn't just deliver you something. He also delivers you to something. Come on, he delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage, and delivered them to the promised land. Come on, he's not going to deliver you from something without taking you to somewhere else, taking you to another place, taking you from hurt to healed, taking you from frustration and anger to peace, taking you from sorrow to joy. Come on, he's got a special delivery today. It's a special delivery. You don't have to wait 3 to 4 weeks. You don't have to expedite your delivery today. God wants to do it now. He wants to do it today for you, but you've got to let him. Come on, you got to understand the children of Israel. They still bore the stripes from the slave masters. They still had calluses on their hands and their feet from the hard work and marks all over their body. But it did not mean they bled out. It did not mean they perished there. It was a reminder to say, look where God has brought me from. And some of you need to get a determination in your heart, an anthem if you will, to say, yeah, I was bleeding out. Yeah, I was hurt. Hurting like no one has ever known before. Yes, I was isolated in a place. Yes, I felt invisible that God wouldn't fix it. But look where God has brought me from. Oh, most of you have heard my testimony, but you have testimonies. It's through the divinity of your scars today. It's about the process of God healing your scars today. It's about that your pain and your suffering had a purpose, that what hurt you shaped you, that what tried to kill you made you stronger, that what tried to keep you farther away from God just brought you closer. What tried to conquer you, you were able to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of your testimony, by the words of your scars, by the story of your scars, by the traumatic events in your life, you were able to overcome. Your scars testify to your survival. They prove you endured and you were not destroyed. It's a sense of holiness through suffering, if you will. It echoes the belief that God's love and redemption are revealed through my wounds and his resurrection. It's beauty beyond perfection. Its divinity is shown not in flawless righteousness, but in what God has healed and redeemed and transformed. To put it simply, your scars are not signs of weakness. They are marks of meaning within you today. It is saying the divinity of your scars is the sacred story of how brokenness in the end gave you strength. Quit trying to erase the scars. They're not erased by grace. They're transformed through your testimonies of God instances through divinity. The wounds that I bore, he delivered me from, but the scars showed me what he delivered me to. Do you believe it today? Hallelujah. Let's all stand in the house.
My Lord.
Can I just tell you, I'm going to be upfront and honest with you. There's some of you who are still resisting. Because through it all, you're at a place of chaos to say, I don't know what I would do without my hate. I don't know what I would do without my bitterness. I don't know what I would do without my resentment. I don't know what I would do without my unforgiveness. I'm just telling you what God's revealing to me right now. God, I want to do a work for you without being transformed. I'm just stepping out in the Holy Ghost. You can get mad at Brother Ward if you want. But I'm just telling you what God's telling me. There are people in this house that they like the work. And that's a good thing. You should always want to do a work for the Lord. But you don't want to sacrifice. You don't want to.
Is this okay?
I just want to be seen. I don't want my scars to be seen. Just let me get up there and sing. They don't have to know if I don't have the Holy Ghost or not. That's okay. As long as I look the part, Pastor. As long as I have the dress code. Does my heart really have to be in that place? Can I say to you, yes, it does. Come on. What we have failed to realize today. My God. I got to say it. Holiness is not the outward. We think holiness is the outward. It's how we dress and how our ladies look beautiful in their modesty. That's holiness. I'm sorry. Holiness is an inward thing. And it produces the outward thing that gives the revelation. Come on, you need holiness for the anointing to move on you. You've got to have the Holy Ghost. He's got to live within you. Come on, I want to be holy, Lord, for you are holy. We think as long as we look the part, we can act and be as nasty as we want on the inside. That our thoughts can be as impure as they need to be. And then we wonder why young men struggle with pornography and deal with the wounds of it for later in their life and feel guilt. Then we wonder why after they get married, they expect their wives to act the same way, Pastor. It's because we never face the scars. We never faced the wounds. We just wanted the band-aid over it, if you will. Women not feeling good enough, not feeling attractive enough because of the modest clothes, knowing that they have the ultimate beauty by the way they dress. And now they have to, what's a new way I can experience to make sure that these young men see my body better? Or what do I need to sacrifice to them to show them I'm worthy of the love? And then we wonder why we have issues with our young girls dealing with suicide and depression and insecurities. You know why? Because we're not facing the scars. We're not showing the scars. We want to put a band-aid over it and just smile. Look at my pretty dress. Look at my tie. Look at my suit. Look at my shoes. But don't look at my scars. Oh, my scars are ugly. But someone needs to declare today that my scars are a place of divine encounter with God, because they're no longer the wound. They tell the story of healing and not defeat. Let's all lift our hands in this house today.